In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Isaiah puts out a proclamation from the Lord. He's told to strengthen weak hands, make firm feeble knees, and Isaiah is probably saying, who, me? This sounds like a job for a doctor. Of course, the doctor does show up some time later, and the Lord calls him to be a traveling companion and physician to St. Paul. And today, then, we commemorate Luke, the physician who testifies to the great physician, the doctor who knew how to fix many things, but yet couldn't fix the ultimate thing, which is the sinful, broken nature of humanity. But he points to the one who does, and we give thanks for that. So today, Isaiah picks up on the theme of health, a theme that we're familiar with. If you look in the bulletin and you see that prayer list, it doesn't usually shrink, does it? We slip extra people in from time to time. Today we've added one who in a couple of weeks will be going in for hip surgery and is already isolating herself because of another thing that we're all thinking about, which is the chances of the coronavirus. And so to be safe for her surgery, she's taking it safe now. And we even see names that testify what final sickness overcomes us. The sickness of sin, which leads to the sickness of death. And when the Lord calls Isaiah out to tell his people, be strong and fear not, that call is echoed by all of the Lord's proclaimers. I can tell you right now, be strong and fear not. And you say, well, by what authority are you telling me that? There's still people getting sick. There's still people suffering. We're praying for folks who have been in auto accidents. We're praying for people who are either recovering from or suffering with cancer. We're praying for people who are hurting because they lost a loved one. And we who are sitting here have our own aches and pains, our own physical limitations or mental shortcomings. We can correct and deal with some of them, at least in part. But we can't ultimately fix what's really broken, and that is us in the core of our beings, because we are born sinful and unclean. We are, throughout our days, sinful in thought, word, and deed. We sin by not doing what we should do and by doing what we shouldn't do. And even as we confess that, we realize that that circle comes right back around and bites us again. We can't get away from it. But we who are sin sick know that we will get our God coming with vengeance. God took vengeance on Satan when Jesus died on the cross. Because God sent Jesus to die so that in his body, which had carried our aches and our pains, our sicknesses, our sufferings, he could put them to death along with our sins, which bring them, that he could ban Satan from his presence. And finally, with the recompense of God, the payback. God not paying you back for what you deserve, but rather with what Christ earned for you. This happened throughout Jesus' ministry, didn't it? The eyes of the blind opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame man leaping like a deer, and the tongue of the mute singing like joy. Wouldn't that be wonderful if Jesus could come in here and touch your face and throw your glasses away and you could see everything perfectly well, or put his hands on your ears or just speak to you and all of a sudden you could hear a pin dropping on the carpet, that he could speak a word and your knees, your feet, your hips, your hands, whatever it is that hurts wouldn't hurt anymore. We work around some of those problems. We find ways to adjust to them and adapt to them. We build different devices in order to correct our own deficiencies. Shoes are built up. Chairs are given wheels. We have sticks that we can prop ourselves up on or whatever else. But the root cause is still there. We are still sick with sin. But when Jesus starts doing these things that Isaiah is testifying for, he is doing them to show that they don't have the final hold on us. So what if you can't see so well right now? There will come that time when you see everything absolutely clearly. Even if you right now have to make sure that your hearing aid has a charged up battery and that it's installed correctly and that it's clean and all of those other things, there'll come a time when you just don't need it. You won't have to grab a walker or slide over into a wheelchair. You won't need something to prop you up or to hold you in place because you can stand on your own two feet and you can walk and you can run and you can skip and hop as much as you want. Remember the healing that takes place in Acts, and there was a children's song that talks about that lame man leaping and skipping, that singing for joy because God had come to him and healed something that was broken. God comes to you and heals what is broken. And Isaiah turns to the illustration of the desert that surrounded so much of that area. Waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Burning sand becoming a pool. If you stood out in hot sand for any length of time, you know what it's nice to have a nice, clear, cool pool of water nearby. Throughout the deserts of the Middle East, Northern Africa, they call them oases, and they're few and far between and a welcome sight when you finally find one. But now there's not going to be a place that's parched and lonely and ugly. There's not going to be a place where the wild animals lurk to either scavenge or to attack and tear apart, because there will be nothing dead for them to go after and there will be no death for them to cause. The scrub brush will be beautiful and green and lush. And the highway, the way of holiness. And that too is already here. We are on it. Well, sometimes we veer to one side or another. Sometimes we miss some of the signs. Sometimes we don't pay attention to the one who sets us on the highway and we get ourselves off. But the Lord corrects that. The Lord restores us. As the prophet said, the unclean shall not pass over it. If you are not cleansed by the Lord in baptism, if you not believe in Jesus as your Savior, if you not trust in His promise of salvation, then you can be walking right with any number of Christians in the same absolute cardinal direction, and you aren't going to get where they're going because you are not walking with the Lord. But when you trust in the Lord, you are on that path. And even if you're a bit of a fool, and we can all confess to that once in a while, can't we? Even the fools will not go astray. Because God will continue to keep an eye on you. God will continue to bless you, to guide you, to whisper or to shout, depending on which you need. To invite sometimes and to stand behind you and give you a swift kick at others. To rebuke you, to correct you, to admonish you, yes, but most of all, to invite you, to feed you, to love you, to serve you, to embrace you, to lift you up, to make sure that even if you can't cart your sorry self down the road, He's going to do it for you. Sometimes near the end of life, and we have people in our own families and among our own friends who already suffer from this, folks start forgetting. They forget birthdays, they forget anniversaries. And then they start forgetting which faces and names go together, and maybe they forget all of the names. And sometimes people are concerned because mom or dad or whoever it is doesn't even seem to remember Jesus anymore. One of the last things that goes for Christian believers, I have noticed, is the Lord's Prayer, but there are times when I pray with somebody and they don't even chime in on that anymore. But even then, they are not having to make it on their own. Because the Lord has made a promise to them. The Lord has made the same promise to you, that He will get you across the finish line. That even if you don't remember Him, if the sickness of sin is so complete that your mind is disappearing, melting away in front of everybody around you, He remembers you. He loves you. And He will get you where you're going. And your mind and the minds of all those others clouded by one thing or another, along with the eyes, along with the ears, along with the limbs and the tongues, all of it healed completely. Sharp thinking, far-sighted, quick to hear. And all of that focus, all that attention, and all of our bodily energy concentrated on one thing, and that is the one who got us there. The Savior in whose presence we dwell forevermore. And however the Lord pictures it in different parts of the Bible, feasts and parades and cities of gold and precious jewels and all of those others, the one thing is clear. It's ours, it's beautiful, and we can enjoy it completely and forevermore. Strengthen, make firm. It'd be nice to have a doctor fix all of the things that are wrong with me, and I know you'd think the same thing, but we know it's not all going to happen, but the fix is in already. Jesus, who rose from the dead, rose knowing that he had triumphed over everything that leads to the grave. And he promises that no matter how long we lie in the grave, he will raise us up. And whether we are awake or asleep on that last day, all of us will join together with newly restored, refurbished, rebuilt, reconditioned, in fact, brand new bodies. With beautiful voices, beautiful hearts, beautiful minds. No longer needing faith to see God, because we will see him from then on with our own eyes. No longer needing to strain to hear at least a little bit of love from him, because we will hear his voice and we will rejoice in it. No longer like that poor man at the pool of Bethesda who couldn't drag himself to the healing waters before somebody else got in and got healed, but rather the Lord picking us up and healing us completely and forevermore. I don't know what doesn't work as well in you now as it used to that you miss the most. I've been used to not seeing so well for a long time, and I'm adjusting to maybe not hearing so well. I think, for me, I'd like to leap like a deer once again. I'd like to have the balance and the coordination and the explosive strength that I really never had. The body that was in absolute tune with what God wanted it to be. But all those things, whether I think of them all the time, once in a while or never, are healed in Christ. You are healed in Christ. And you can only see them like you see the Lord himself right now by faith. But you will see them with your own eyes, hear them with your own ears. You will taste and see with a tongue that can absolutely identify every wonderful flavor that passes it forevermore. That the Lord is good. That the Lord has brought you to that place, and that the Lord is never going to leave you. God grant that in the days of your pilgrimage still ahead, he continues to strengthen you, to heal you, to lift you up, to fix what gets broken, to mend the boo-boos that are tiny, and to pour himself out on the big aches and pains. But most of all, to remind you that complete healing is yours. It's in the bank, and it's waiting for you. And when he calls you on the last day and raises you up, you will be astonished at who you were always supposed to be, and finally are. Be faithful unto death, because that beautiful restored body, mind, and spirit is part of that wonderful crown of life. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you in Christ Jesus.